All right, let's turn this morning in the Word of God to 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, and this is a scripture I read not too many weeks ago. I don't know exactly how many weeks ago it's been, but it's you might remember us reading it. It's got a good starting place for my thought today, right here in this verse. And then we'll be going place to place, probably, as we go along on the message. Amen. And taking here a little, there a little, the Word says. Praise the Lord. All right. I'm going to take a thought this morning. Confused preachers trying to get you engaged at a marriage ceremony. Amen. Now, I want you to... The thought behind this is this. Paul said, I engage you, or get you a spouse, that I may present you some days out here to be married to Christ, as you'll get as we go. And in the different parts of the world, as we've traveled, different cultures, they may do it a little different at each time, but most of the time they'll have a kind of a ceremony or a party or something and announce an engagement. But in the old Jewish realm, way back in the time in Paul, everything in the Bible was wrote by Jewish writers, if you didn't know that. Everything that they were Jewish writers. Paul wrote for the Gentiles, but he was actually a Jew himself. And in the Jewish custom, and I've read on this in different times in history to be sure that I was looking at the right thing, but they usually had a ceremony. It was almost like a wedding, but not exactly. And they came, the man and woman came together there with above, and they had a party, and they would pledge themselves, and of course they would go there to their own home. And it was usually sometimes as much as a year, 12 months, before the marriage actually took place. But they were almost counted man and wife, see. If you remember the story there in Matthew's, where Mary and Joseph was engaged to be married, see. But when the angel, before marriage, Joseph noticed that Mary was with child. So he began to think, what am I going to do here? Mary has been unfaithful. And he went about how to put her away. And even on this, if they had to engage, they'd have to go kind of like getting a divorce, you know. Put her away. How am I going to put her away? Even though they were engaged or espoused. They used the word espoused. And Joseph was thinking, how am I going to put Mary away? What am I going to do? And he went about do it kind of private, not make her a public spectacle, you know. But while he thought on these things, I like the way God does things. While he thought on these things, an angel of God came to him in a dream and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. See, in God's eyes, she was already his wife, and they were a spouse, and it was just more or less waiting till the actual marriage ceremony was performed, and then she went home with him then. Amen. See, that's what the bride's going to do. They'll go home with him. Amen. Some people today, they fail to realize we got to move on up. You know, move on up to present tense word. God is a present God. And it's said today many times, we say, get back to the original, or get back to what Paul preached, and that's good. But then, when we get back to the original, I want you to notice Paul's preaching was without a lot of notes or without a lot of quoting of others. It was Jesus Christ in him doing the speaking. See, amen, it was Christ in him Just like when Jesus came and he was preaching, they said, wait a minute here, Moses said this, Moses said that, and Moses said. And that was one of the things the Jews would say because they were so learned on the written word, which is the tree of knowledge. And would say something of that order. Moses said, Jesus said, I know Moses said, he says, but I say unto you. Amen. Amen. So they said, like it said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And, you know, that was a Jewish thing there. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, if they smite you on one cheek, turn the other. Amen. He brought it up to date, see. And to read the word without having the foresight of seeing where it's pointing you and go to where it's pointing you, it's just a matter of having the tree of knowledge. Amen. Quoting scripture, and that's why Paul waxed bold and got very brave, and he said in the 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter, he got very bold and he said, the letter killeth. See, how many knows that? The letter killeth. In other words, if all you're going to do is read and go through your notes and go through all that, amen, you might get every word and every I dotted and every T crossed, but that's only killeth. Unless the Spirit of God moves in there, amen, and Paul spoke by the Spirit of God, say. Hallelujah. How many believe it? Praise God. So that's what we're looking at. That's why we're taking the title here. Confused Preachers tries to use the engagement ceremony at marriage time. Amen. And that may not be exactly what I said the other, but that's the line of thought. Amen. So some people today, they'll try to take only the written word and say, so-and-so said this and so-and-so said that. And I've noticed on watching some TV preachers, they'll say, Dr. So-and-so said this, Dr. So-and-so, and the dean of this university said this, and the dean of the university said that. And they'll say, Paul even said it, or Moses said it, or something. But they always leave you with the fact that, yes, they've studied. Yes, they've got knowledge. Yes, they can quote. But when it comes to the real thing of the unwritten word, the spirit word of God, as Paul spoke, they're totally out of the loop, we would say. And if we just only read what Paul says, you don't have to be saved to do that. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. You can be an unbeliever and do that. Amen. Because you're only reading written word. And that's why Paul said it killeth. Unless the Spirit... He said, but it's the Spirit of God that giveth life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Suppose a man and wife got married and they had some rule books, and the man says, now here's what I want you to do. Do this, wash dishes, make bed, wash clothes, and all that. Well, she could go through and obey the rules of it, but unless there was some spirit, some love, amen, it would be a dead marriage, wouldn't it? Amen. It's got to be that love, that spirit. Amen. The same thing with the Word of God, unless it's real to you, unless the Spirit of God's in you, unless He's quickening it to you. Paul spoke of the word being quickened. See, being quickened. That means made alive, and you see it, and you rejoice, and you see where it's going. So Paul said in his Word that I espouse you that I may present you. Other words, this is only the first step of it. But there, some time or another, there'll come a time when there'll be a marriage. And John says in Revelation, rejoice, talking of the end time, Rejoice and be glad, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. In other words, the time period has went on now. We're at the end time. It's time the marriage take place. That's when the church and Christ become one, and she began to speak with inspiration. And Revelation chapter 10, verse 8 through 11 there, it talks about eating the little book, and then you prophesy, and that's brought down from heaven, something that's not even here, and it's spiritual. Amen. And he said he would put his laws in your heart and in your mind. Amen. It would be unwritten. You would just have Christ in you and he would be doing the speaking. Amen. Many things Paul said you could not find anywhere where they was written. Amen. Until after he preached them. See, when the early church went forth, they had no New Testament. They had no written word. Even the four Gospels, the first one was written was in the book of Matthew, about 37 A.D. The church been going for years. But most of these things, if you have a Scofield Bible, here in this 2 Corinthians 60 A.D., that's about 27 years after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. The church had been going for years with nothing written. Amen. But they had Christ in them doing the talking, see. It was real to them. That was the engagement. Now, how about the marriage at the end time? Praise God. So let's pray before reading our scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we undertake to bring this message today, this thought, I pray that you'll put your blessings upon it. You'll anoint our mind, our heart, and our soul, and the hearers, Lord. God, that you will just quicken it to them. Let them know that Jesus Christ is speaking again in this last day the same way that he was in Bible days, with the same offices, the same word, the same Holy Ghost, and the same Spirit. Oh God, just move now and bless the hearers, bless us, and anoint us all together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I tell you, I feel good in the Lord, don't you? Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. Amen. So we can come yet to church. And I'm not real critical. Maybe just somewhat. Seeing preachers, they preach it and turn the next page. And then they'll walk around forever, turn the next page and look at it. And I watch Joel Osteen. And he's one of the biggest preachers, I guess, in the USA. You know, got the biggest congregation, I think, maybe 20,000 or 30,000. It's, if you saw him on TV, the big thing. Well, as he preached, he'll come by and he'll turn his page. And a lot of them has these here, what they call these things for the proctor or something. They got wrote down like a political man. When he's giving his speech, he looks like he's, talking there, but he's reading it off, see. Amen, his speech. So some of the preachers got it like that, they'll read it off. And so on and so forth like that. And they'll turn the pages and stuff and it reflects it and they can read it off as they preach. Well, you know, where's the Spirit of God in all that? And most of the time someone else helped them get it up and it was done a long time before then. A good friend of mine, preacher, he says, I like to keep four or five lessons ahead. You know, got his big notebook. He'll flip them over and flip them over so that if he's called upon to preach anywhere, he'll just look and see what would be a good sermon, you know. Amen. But how about the Holy Ghost? Amen. Jesus said, take no thought what you'll say in certain cases. It'll be given to you by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I don't mean to be critical, but I have to say certain things to let us know that we're living in a time when the Spirit of God's moving. Amen. If I'm up here reading off and I've had all my co-workers and everything to help me get together, you know, and reading off to you certain things on a certain sermon, and you can get a strong concordance, which one I use sometimes, and you can get the electronic Bible, and I've got one of those, and even on the internet now, if you want to go to certain sites where you can get any scripture that deals with a certain subject, You can print it off or read it and go on. And you don't have to be saved. You don't have to pray. You don't have to ask God anything. You just go ahead and decide what you're going to do and go ahead and do it. And then you don't take any risk because you know ahead of time what you're going to say kind of, and so you feel pretty good. You know where you're going. You know how long it's going to last and how you're going to say it and so on like that. But then, that's one way of doing it, but that's the tree of knowledge, see. But when you trust God, and He might let you fail. Just see if you're going to trust Him. I remember the second time I preached. Brother Bill Andrew, who has now gone to be with the Lord, he passed away some months back. He announced me, "Here's Brother Junior. He's a fireball preacher. Are you ready for him?" Down at Gospel Temple. And he built them up. Yeah, we're ready, you know. All right, here he comes, he said. I walked up there, and absolutely the only thing I could do is read my scripture and tell the people. I said, "I'm sorry, I can't think of a thing to say." And went and sat down. Then the pastor, he went ahead with a little lesson there. Amen. But you still, some would say, "Well, I'll never do that again." And I said, "I'll never get up," but I did. But some will say, "I'll have mine wrote down, so that won't happen to me again." Well, that's one way of doing it. But if you write it down, then you ain't going to get the blessing that can come from the power of God. How many knows it? Amen, because you already know I'd rather have a failure from time to time. Amen, and I'd rather get up and some morning and say, "People, I'm sorry. I can't think of a thing to say. I'm just, my mind just went blank and I can't think of a thing," and sit down rather than have it written down, read it off to you. Because once you start down that road, you lose all confidence, and that's where your confidence is in what you've got wrote down. Now, having said that, I want to read here in 2 Corinthians, in the 11th chapter for my first scripture. I'll read verse 1 through 3. It reads like this, Paul talking to him, writing to him, "I would to God that you'd bear with me a little of my folly, and indeed bear with me." Amen. But then he began to tell him what God has ordained him to do. Verse 2, he says, "For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." In other words, these people coming by trying to preach this and preach that, mostly in his day was circumcision, trying to get them to keep the law. He said, "For I have espoused," and that's the word I want you to notice. Now, in our language, in our culture, and I know I'm speaking in an international, in our language, in our culture here in the USA, we would say, "I engage you." But if you're in the Middle East or in Jewish, "I espouse you." In other words, get you engaged. Now notice, "I have espoused you to one husband," watch, "that I may present." Everybody say, "That I may present." "That I may present." That's right. See, that means this is only the first step of it. See? "That I may present." That somewhere later on, now this ain't the marriage. This is just get you engaged. And Paul said, "I espouse you as a chest for that I may present." Meaning there was something else to come and this was the first step of it, see? Yeah. Amen. All right, now won't you, I'm sure you got that now, "that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." In other words, they had to be faithful that whole time between engagement or espousal and marriage, see. "That I may present." Now, see, Paul fully intended to present, but that wasn't Paul speaking on his own, see. "That I was Christ in him," see. That was the Spirit of God in him. That was the anointing in him. And Christ is still he's going to present, just like Paul said, that was that office of the apostle speaking. Amen. Amen. And God still got the office of apostle, and he'll pick that up and present us unto Christ as a chaste virgin.
because we've come out from among religion and so on and so forth like that, we're a virgin to Christ. Amen. Has nothing to do with the human element there. This is spiritual. Amen. You dedicate yourself to Christ and Him alone. Not to a preacher, not to a denomination, not to anything of that nature, but it's Christ in you, Paul said, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Amen. How many seeds that I may present? I'll get you engaged. That I may present out here, you're engaged now, but the marriage is what this thing's all about, and this is only the first step of the journey. Paul gave us the first step of the journey, and that was getting a Gentile bride. He says, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. And he says, in the Word of God says in Acts, the 15th chapter, that God will take out of the Gentiles, not Jews, take out of the Gentiles the people for His name's sake. See, the Jews were the brethren, and oftentimes I refer to it, and I don't want you to get tired of the story, and I'm not going to go along on it anyway. But Joseph went down in Egypt, he took a Gentile bride. But yet, later on, the brethren came in, which typifies after the rapture take place, God gets the Gentile bride, then two prophets come into Israel. Amen. Israel will have a revival, and all those whose names are in the book will be converted. Hallelujah, while we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Say, amen. And I thank God for giving that understanding. But Paul said in his days, watch what he said, but I fear, I'm going on down to verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, he said you want to be watchful, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled or deceived Eve through his substance, his wisdom, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. And that's exactly what happened, as God foresaw certain things would be. Amen. A lot of people think because of predestination that everybody, some's born to go to heaven, some born to go to hell, nobody has a choice. But I want you to watch. The Word of God says, by foreknowledge. This is Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, long through that. Amen. He foresaw, and He put things in your life to guide you. He foresaw what you would do. How many knows it? Oh, my. Hallelujah. So, God foresaw that the devil would get in there and he would let the church fall and it would go through seven church ages, which were only the espousal period, and the old serpent would get in there just like he did Eve. But also he saw, as John recorded in Revelation 19, the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife has made herself ready. Praise God. Amen. So, that I may present you. So some preachers, amen, tries to just keep you on this without going on. See, but Jesus Christ comes back to earth in the spirit form, just like He came there on the day of Pentecost, in the form of the Holy Ghost. Revelation chapter 10, John said, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven having in his hand a little book. Well, that angel that come down, it had rainbow about his head and so on. It was Christ. It was Christ in spirit form come to marry the wife.
Amen.
Amen. He only got her engaged in that early church age. And a lot of people, they'll keep pointing you to back there, and they'll even take weeks and weeks on the trying to get you back there in the church ages and all that. And you remember how I did that once and preached a series on it, which it's good to know. But then when I came and preached that last message that night, God gave me a dream. I was at this old lighthouse on the shore, and the waves were rolling in and so on like that. And different one would just come there and look around, stand around, and all. And I was with them. I said, why do we come here like this? And the one that spoke to me said this to me. Said, at one time. Notice that. At one time the light was here. So as we were walking out, there was no light there, but they kept going back. You got to go on where the light's at. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Can you say amen? Well, as I was coming out, I said, I won't be coming back here anymore. Why go where the light has been? Why not go where the light's at? Amen. Is that right? Amen. If I go back and tell what Paul done all the time, I can become a good student of history. But it will be dead and without life. If I constantly go back and quote Brother Brown, tell you where Brother Brown went and what Brother Brown done, if I make a sermon out of that, then I'm telling you what God has done in more recent times. What God has done. And then again, if I go back and talk about Brother Jack and how he revealed what the trumpet was and how he was showed us where the Jews fit and all that, that's good. But if you're let me tell you something. Young man, if you're going to marry a girl, you got your girlfriend there, you're engaged, and you're about to get married. If the only thing you got to talk about is your brothers, pretty soon she's going to say, well, how about me? You can say, I've got five brothers. I got three brothers. One of them on a Chevrolet dealership in Atlanta. Another one, he's a big farmer. And another one is a pilot for an airline. My brothers, they really are. I'm real proud of my brothers, you know. Well, that's good. That's all right. Pretty soon she's going to feel like, well, how about me? Where do I fit in this? Amen. Do you see it? Where do I fit in all this? Amen. It's not about the bread and it's about the wine. Amen. Is that right? It's about the bride. It's about that girl you're marrying. Pretty soon she's gonna get bored. You're gonna talk about your brothers. I got one brother, he weighs about 250 pounds. I got another brother, he's real slim and I tell you, he's got black hair and he got a good education. He's all this. Amen. That's what people are doing, trying to give you the wrong thing. Amen. Paul said, I have engaged you. I espouse you. He says, that I may. And that was the Lord speaking through him, through that office. That office is going to present a bride to Christ to be married. And that office not going to reach back and just quote Paul all the time, say what Paul said. Amen. What Paul says is good, but Paul said, I laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. Somebody else is going to do the building. I laid the foundation. Hallelujah. He said, I've got you engaged. But engagement ain't what that girl's looking for. Amen. She knows that's only the first step. The reason she got engaged is to become that man's wife. Amen. Can you say amen? She didn't get engaged just to stay engaged all the time. Amen. If she got engaged, that means there's a wedding out here somewhere. And usually a date set and the ring's given. Can you say amen? Amen. I saw something the other day. Somebody said, this girl said, I think he's wanting to marry me. Somebody said, well, where's your rock? You know, the ring. If you're going to marry him, where's your ring? Amen. So, a lot of people, they just want that. They talk about engagement. I'm interested in marrying. I'm interested in becoming bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. Now, Paul continued. He prophesied what would be. And when I bring in about what Paul said or what Paul done in that sense, see, it was not just Paul. It was Christ in Paul. He clearly made that known that this is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he spoke by inspiration things that never was written before. Now I want you to notice as we go into, let's turn to the book of Ephesians here. And these are scriptures that are not strange to you. are not unknown to you because you've heard them and you've read them and so on. That's good. But see, that's the first hand of the Word. I remember years ago, and this is going to be on the cover of our album, the two hands. I was down here. I lived in a little mobile home out here. And one night I had a dream. I was down here and there was a big monument. It was like an M, just as white, about 6 foot tall, 30 or 40 inches wide. And on each side of that white monument, like, was A-N-D, and then on the other side, it was Ann. And I thought, well, that probably is not of God. I don't understand what that would mean, just a dream of some type. But that next day, I was reading the Bible. I started reading it through again, New Testament. And I was in St. John chapter, starting in St. John. I was going to read the book of St. John. I read chapter 1, got over, started on chapter 2, and I read down St. John 2:22. It says, latter part of that verse, and they believed the Scripture. First and. And the Word that He had said. Amen. Now, just believing the Scripture's only part of it. Amen. You got to realize Jesus is still talking in this day and in this hour. And in this time period, and it's a quickening power of the Word. As Paul said, the letter kill us, and if that's all we got, the first and, it'll kill us. Now in the garden, God set the tree of knowledge in the garden, and the tree of life. And He gave commandment concerning the tree of knowledge, but He was waiting to give the commandment on the tree of life till the proper time. But He said, thou shalt not eat the tree of knowledge, and the day you eat thereof, you'll die, and so on. But here comes the serpent, and that's what Paul's talking about, as the serpent beguiled Eve. The serpent said, why, don't worry about that. You won't die. God just knows if you'll know, you'll have wisdom. Well, you can have all the wisdom you want, but unless you got the Spirit of God quicken that wisdom, quicken that knowledge, it only brings death. That's what Paul was talking about when he said the letter killeth, but it's the Spirit of God that giveth life. Can you say amen? But then God was waiting to tell him to go and take out that tree of life. The tree of knowledge and the tree of life joined together. It's the first and second and. It brings forth eternal life. Amen. This Word, quickened with the Holy Spirit, brought up to date by the Holy Ghost and the power of God, that'll give you life. Hallelujah. Amen. I had a dream one night, and I know we don't build on dreams, but God give us dreams, help us. Me and a bunch of preachers going somewhere, and we had to camp as we were like going on a camping journey, and we had to camp overnight part of the way. Well, we came by a field there, and they said, this is a good place to camp. Because we put up a little puppy tent to sleep in, like. And they said, yeah, because you could just push the stakes down with your hands almost. It was so in the sandy field, they said, we should have picked a good spot. We don't have to work driving stakes, you know. Well, they put theirs up. Well, I noticed on the side of the road there was a bunch of cross ties laying there. Well, I began to drag them cross ties, really working hard, getting them cross ties around mine, and I fastened my tent down to those cross ties, and they were laughing at me, saying, all you got to do is just set this up, and just those stakes, you can push them in the ground with your hands almost. And says, you don't need to fix it. You're fixing it like you're going to be here for a long time. You're just going to be here overnight. But I got mine down and got it secure with the cross ties, fastened to the cross ties so that it would have a foundation, say. And that night there came a windstorm that blew in there. And it blew those tents away. Next morning I got up. Amen. And all the tents were gone, all of them, except this one that was fixed, that was tied to the cross tie. And the Lord says, be sure you get it right on the Word, say. Amen. You got to nail it down to the Word, but the Word's not the tent, see?
Amen.
Amen. You had to get the cross ties was the foundation. And Paul said, I laid the foundation. Amen. He said, but another buildeth thereon, see? Amen. That's why I say we need to be on the Word and we need to take that. We need to be engaged. The church was back there and we're part of it, but we're going on to the marriage. We're the living element people that's going to be married to Christ, united to Christ, become one with Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, till we reach the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus, become His wife.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to read in the 4th and 5th chapter of Ephesians. I believe I'll change that and get the 5th chapter first and then back to 4. Amen. Amen. And it talks about the marriage here somewhere. I haven't got anything wrote down, but I've read enough. I know exactly what I'm looking for. All right, let's see. Ephesians 5. And let's start verse 25. I believe that. Let's get verse 24 so that we'll know what he's talking about here. Amen. It says, therefore, as the church, we call it the bride more in this end time, or his wife, which is the same as the church. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in all things. It says, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the reason we use bride, the word project as bride, and also as wife, is that in this hour there's so many groups that's called church that act nothing like, look nothing like what Paul said to church. So we usually say the bride, which the bride and the true church is the same, see. There's no difference. All right. Then going on to verse 26, it says, that he might sanctify it, talking about the church, with the washing of the water by the word. He has done that through the time and through ages. All right. He says, verse 27, that he might present it. Notice, might present it unto himself. Notice, it hadn't been done Paul's day. Paul said that I may present you, the first scripture with, and now he's saying that he may claim, that he might present it unto himself. All right, watch. A glorious wife, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. Now, being without blame, that's the love of God, see. Amen, because in the human realm we all got our failures and our faults and you could find blame in all of us, see. But when you look at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, we're as white as driven snow. How many will say amen? Amen. Alright, it says here, so ought men love their wives even as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Now watch what he's saying. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife. This was take place after, not at the engagement, but at the marriage. Joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That means there's a marriage has taken place, not an engagement, not an espousal. We've come through that period of time. Now it's time to be presented to Christ and become one with Him. That's why Paul prophesied, ye are the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. By one Spirit we're baptized into the body of Christ and we become part of Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. Amen. Watch what's going on down. Amen. I want to read that verse 30 here. Amen. It says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh and of His bones. In other words, that we become part of. We're not just engaged with Him. We're bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, and that is only through the intimate act that God ordained. Amen. He ordained it from the Garden of Eden. Had it been kept like God ordained it and the serpent hadn't got his felt the hands involved there. Of course, this was all in God's plan. He knew He wanted to test and try. Then there would be nobody born without having eternal life. Every child would have eternal life. Amen. Because they would be born not just by the tree of knowledge, but by the tree of life. Amen. That's why the written word is the tree of knowledge today. And if you just get the tree of knowledge and know how to quote a scripture, amen, without that tree of life, which is Jesus Christ, it profits you very little today. And the Bible says it kills. All right. Then he goes on and he says, you know, we could ask, how could anybody become bone of bone, flesh of flesh? He said, this is a great mystery. Now what? But I'm speaking, or I speak, concerning Christ and the church. How many sees that? Amen. The Christ and the church are become one bone, one flesh, one spirit, one soul. And the Bible says we'll have the very mind of Christ. Amen. And then you read that, and I'm not going, you can't get it in one day. That's why we got another service coming. Amen. The thing is, see, he said he'd give us his gifts. Now, there's three vocal gifts, and I'm not going to get on all that, so you can talk like Christ. There's three power gifts, so you can have the same power Christ had. And there's three revelational gifts. There's nine of them. Amen. The vocal gifts are what you say. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Amen. And I saw it work over in, I guess it was it Zambia or Malawi? Akaboa. Where, I know the, was that what country? Mozambique. We were there and nobody in the village could speak English. Not a soul. Here comes a young lady up, and this young lady walk up and says, sir, and this is practically word for word. If I miss a word, then that don't matter anyway, but this is the essence. Sir, thou art a servant of Almighty God sent to us. Well, God told Paul, I'll send you to a people out here, Acts 28. But the point is, Barbara's telling the preacher that as we got in the car and leave, They begin to throw up their hand. It's God. It's God. It's God. Said there's not a single soul that can speak English. So the pastor went back. One of the preachers went back and made a special trip just to find out. Said, asked the lady, said, what did you say to the visitors? She said, I don't know. Said, I just went up to the car and words started coming out of my mouth. And I turned and walked away. She did. She abruptly turned and walked away. Amen. See, God give us this so we can talk like Jesus. Amen. Amen. See, talk like Jesus. And then He give three revelation gifts so we can think like Jesus. One of them is the gift of knowledge, so that you'll have knowledge you don't know about, but all of a sudden there it is. You know it. And I'm sure it happened to ever. And then there's the gift of wisdom. You know exactly what to do, just like Solomon did there about the baby. And just like Paul did about to tear him apart. There was part Pharisees and part Sadducees, and the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they sad, you see. They're sad, you see. Amen. But the Pharisees, they did believe. Paul said, I'm a Pharisee. How come I'm brought in question? They said, oh, is that what you are? And they begin to fight each other, and Paul slipped out. See, that's the gift of wisdom, see. Then there's the power gift, the healing. Then the gift of miracles, where Jesus walked out there and walked on the water and did many things, spoke to the dead, and they got up again. Amen. And then those gifts there, gift of knowledge, the power gifts is the gift of healing, the gift of working of miracles. And what's the next one there? There's three of them. The gift of working the miracles, that's power. The gift of healing, power. Hey, yeah, gift of faith. There's the power gifts where Paul got bit with that serpent. And he should have fell dead immediately. But he spoke the word of faith. Amen. He shook that thing off his... He shook that serpent off in the fire, and the Bible says he felt no harm. They looked at him and said, he should have fell dead immediately. What's wrong with this man? He's a god or something. Amen. And Paul had a great... The chief of that island, he was sick. Paul went in, and the Bible says Paul went into his tent and healed him. Another one, he acted like Jesus acted because he had the gifts. And that's what God wants the church to do, have these gifts. Amen. Talk like Jesus, act like Jesus, and think like Jesus. You become bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. You're married to Him, say. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. I better start rolling on here. All right. Notice that. How many sees the engagement and marriage, two different things altogether? How many says it? At engagement, as a spouse, you don't become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. But you're pledged to him. You're faithful to him. Then one day he takes you as his wife. He sent an apostolic office just like he did in the days of Paul. He sent an apostolic office to get the church engaged in when the time come for marriage. He sent another apostolic office, and Jesus keep talking through that just like he did Paul. So when Paul said, I espouse you that I may present you, that was Christ speaking in him. Amen. Amen. Paul as a person didn't, but Christ still is going to do it. Amen. All right, let's go to the fifth chapter, back to the fourth chapter here, just a moment now. And you don't confuse the engagement with the marriage, see? Amen. Suppose someone came up, let me say this to get us back on track here, good. Suppose I had a couple come up to be married. And, of course, we don't go through that formal thing for engagement too much here, but they did in Bible days, in different societies they do now. I get you engaged. Now, y'all go ahead and you go to your place, and you go to your, and about a year later you come back. Amen. Well, they came to get married. I just got them engaged. Amen. That's why the bride come get married, but a lot of preachers, confused preachers, just reading the engagement to them and not the marriage vow.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many want to say amen? Well, the people say, I didn't come to get engaged, I come to get married. Well, that's how come that's more confused. That's reading just what's wrote and don't taking it on no further, say. Amen. God's got apostolic office for a wedding ceremony. Amen. We're not here to get engaged our spouse. We're here to become one with Christ, be married to Him, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, spirit of His spirit, word of His word. Amen. Have His gifts and all. Amen. All right. Now in Ephesians 4. Back to Ephesians 4. And I'll have to just read a lot of this and comment less if I'm going to, because I definitely want to get to Revelation 19 for the marriage. I'm going to pick up with verse 11 of Ephesians 4, and this is something you're not a stranger to this. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And we recently preached a message called Is There a Fivefold Ministry? If So, Where? That would be a good take to hear. Alright, verse 12 says, what this is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now watch, till. Now don't miss that word till. In other words, this ain't all of it. This is what takes place till. Do you see it now? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Till. We all come together in the unity of the faith, watch now, and the knowledge of the Son of God. Full revelation of the Godhead now. Unto a perfect man. Now, that's calling the church a perfect man. That's when you become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And the Bible says, and I'm not going to get into, I don't have the time today, but when Adam and Eve, God created Adam and Eve, the Bible says, he called their name, what? Adam. That's right. He called their name Adam. Amen. And Eve, one time she was in Adam. Took the rib and took the spirit, feminine part of that spirit and put it in a woman and so on like that, man and wife, see. And they came, and it was God's aim and ambition for them to come together, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. That was all the way from the beginning. So here we, this is verse 13, till we all come together in the faith, unity of the faith, and in knowledge of the unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the statue of the fullness of Christ, and you don't get that in engagement. That's marriage. Amen. You're called the man Christ. Then he says, when we get there, no preacher can get us confused. We're not just engaged. They can present an engagement party all they want. We're still going to know where we're at. It says that we henceforth be no more children just tossed to and fro. One preacher preach it one way, another preacher preach it another way, another say up's up, another say down is up, you know. Amen, but you get your head on straight, you get the mind to cry. Amen, God's given us a ministry like unto Paul. Amen, Paul got us engaged now. Here's a ministry to get us married to cry, and we know the difference.
Amen.
That will henceforth be old children tossed from to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But watch what we do. But speaking the truth, amen. Catch it. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. Now I want you to notice one thing here. There was a time God sent a servant, William Brown. His message was, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Every service. Amen. That's about all. Now there's still people saying, come out of her. Come out of her. Well, we've come out. What do we do now? That message brought us out. Here's a message to take us in. Into the body of Christ. That was just to get the bride out of that denominational system so she could be taught the Word. And that's what we're doing now, speaking the truth in love. And we don't have to holler and rant and ram and all these things and all that. And we just present Christ to you in love. And it just thrills your heart and sets you on fire.
Amen.
If that's for you. Can you say amen? Now notice this. Next verse. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. Not only are we joined to Christ, but we're joined together as one and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And the body just begins to edify itself because it's Christ in her doing the work. Amen. God bless you. There's another scripture I want to get. That's in the I say there's one more. Amen. There's others, but I'm going to get one that I believe I read last week in more recent time at least. That got the how many sees the engagement now? How many sees the espousal? How many sees the espousal and marriage are two different things? Yes, two different things. And then when you get engaged, that's not marriage. Amen. But a lot of preachers are so confused and don't take nothing but the written word. They won't follow God's apostolic leadership for this hour. Every Sunday they're trying to get you engaged. Well, Paul did that, dummy. Amen. It's time for a wedding. That's why we've been married to Christ. We've become one with Him. Now notice in the 19th chapter, Paul's been dead here about 30 years now, and God's continuing letting us know that what he says is going to come to pass exactly. Revelation 19:7 said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. And why not do it? Amen. Why not do it? The marriage. Amen. If I was having a wedding here and the bride come in, looked so sad. And the bridegroom looked like they have to haul him down or somebody drag him down here to get married. Or the bride. Amen. I'd think, in my mind, I'd say something's bad wrong here. Amen. Because the wedding's taking place, he said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Watch what he says. For the marriage, not the engagement. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready. Amen. She's ready. Amen. And again, going back and reaching back in Bible days, if once they came through that there espousal, if they had been faithful, they could get out of it. But like Joseph, I brought that in earlier. But here, this was his, see. His wife has made herself ready. Now here, no longer he's not saying bride. He's not saying church. He's not saying any of these things, but he's bringing it down good and straight and good and solid. And he said his wife has made herself ready. And Paul said over there, she become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, spirit of his spirit, word of his word. She become part of him, and she takes on his name. He called out the people of the Gentiles. He called out them a people for his name's sake. And why wouldn't you take on the name of the Lord? Amen. A lot of people say, well, just baptize me in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to ride that horse because I ain't got time now. But why not? What's so wrong with that name? On the day of Pentecost, even the brethren took his name there. Amen. And Paul, when the gospel came to the Gentiles, he commanded, Peter down in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And Luke said this gospel should be preached in his name in all nations. Glory to God. But God allowed the scripture to go, allowed the saying go in there, and the whole denominational world took hold of it. See, God, when wheat and tares grow together, God feed the tares just as well as He does the wheat. Amen. The Bible says He sends the rain upon the just and unjust. He maketh His sun to shine upon the just and unjust. Amen. But there come a day, Matthew 13 chapter, where the wheat is gathered in. Hallelujah. Become that wheat. No, the tares separated from it. And the marriage of the Lamb. That's what the marriage of the Lamb is. She become one with Him. Not part of a denomination. Amen. Alright. His wife has made herself ready. And to her. Not to them or him. But to her. Only her. Somebody said the other day, we were listening to the tape that was preached sometime back. Said if God didn't take everybody that's saved to be in the bride to the marriage supper, said He would be showing partiality. Well, honey, I don't make no bones about it. I show partiality to my wife. She's the one go home with me. Amen. I don't make no bones about it. Yes, I'm partial towards my wife. And if you got a wife and you're not, you better wise up. Amen. Or you might not have one pretty quick. Can you say amen? Watch, He didn't give everybody a robe. Them foolish virgins, they came and they, in Matthew 13, they were saved people, but they didn't have any oil. Can you say amen? But we got the oil. We got a message for this hour that gives us oil and that calls all lamps to burn bright. Amen. We're not worried about running out of oil. We got plenty of it. God's give us plenty of it, but we can't share it with those that don't have the rep because it takes a revelation for the oil. See, while they went to get oil, the bridegroom came and the marriage took place, and they that was ready, Matthew 25th, went in and the marriage and the door was shut. And the rest of them came knocking. Let us in too. He said, I've already married my wife. A man might go with several ladies till he gets his head on straight. But when he marries one, he don't fool around with the other, or he better not. Can you say amen? Amen. They might come knock. Hey, I want to be your wife too. No, he's already married. And he better show partiality and say, get away, I've already got married. That's why Jesus said, go away. He said, I know you not. Now watch this here. And to her. How many sees the difference now? It is so clear that to her, the wedding ceremony table, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. This ain't engagement here now. Amen. Some preachers keep saying, just say what Paul said. Do what Paul done. And do what Brother Brown said. Do what Luther said. And do what Wesley said. And all those things were all right. We were getting our garment washed. But now, amen, he's given us a garment that without spot, without blemish, we've become his wife. That was all right to travel in, one that had to wash the spots out. Like Rebecca coming to Isaac. On her long camel journey, she didn't wear the wedding garment. But when she saw Isaac in the field, you know what the Bible says? She lighted off the camel. Amen. And you talk about work going on, getting the tent up and getting everything, had servants there. Amen. When she came out of there, I'll guarantee you this. That when she came out of that tent, she looked good, she smelled good, she was all fixed up, and she had the wedding garment on. And she alone, don't miss this, she alone, not the maidens and them that travel with her, she alone went into the tent with Isaac and they became one. He led her there. Now, I can't see how anything be plainer. Some people, confused preachers are trying to get an engagement at the marriage supper or at the time of marriage. Amen. We're eating the marriage supper. Amen. The eating's already begun. Revelation 10, 8 through 11. But we'll deal with that another time. Amen. A little bit more. How many sees now? Amen. The wedding, the engagement party is not, and I can't overemphasize it, is not the marriage. Paul laid the foundation. Amen. Paul said that I'm getting you engaged. I'm only getting you engaged. Amen. That I might, Christ speaking, that I might present. God took that office of that apostle off the scene. Amen. Restored it back in the last day. And just as sure as she was engaged, now she's married to him. Become one. Bone is bone, flesh is flesh. Let's just pray and ask God's blessing on us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name, we praise your name. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, you take this word and use it, bless it to the hearts of those that it's ordained for his, and that we know it's for your wife, Lord. We thank you for giving us an opportunity to speak to your wife today. In Jesus' name, amen.